You're listening to SBS News.
The Taliban has announced that their government, with a UN blacklisted veteran of the hardline movement in the top role, weeks after they swept to power and toppled the US-backed president. But as the Taliban transitions from militant force to governing power of Afghanistan, security officials are grappling with a growing number of protests against their rule, with two people shot dead and eight wounded in the western city of Herat. Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund, a senior minister during the Taliban's brutal and repressive reign in the 1990s, was appointed acting prime minister. The Taliban had promised an inclusive government that would reflect the ethnic makeup of the country, but all the top positions were handed to key leaders from the movement and the Haqqani network, the most violent branch of the Taliban, known for devastating attacks. Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid announced the formation of the acting government at a press conference in Kabul.
Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund.
His Excellency Al-Haj Mullah Hassan Akhund as caretaker Prime Minister, His Excellency Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar as the Deputy Prime Minister, His Excellency Mullawi Muhammad Yaqub Mujahid as caretaker of the Defence Ministry, His Excellency Al-Haj Mullah Sirajuddin Haqqani as caretaker of the Ministry of the Interior, His Excellency Mullawi Amir Khan Mutaki as caretaker of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Mr. Mujahid said that his compatriots now enjoyed wide security.
Thank God our country regained its freedom from occupation. All the causes of the wars were destroyed. Our compatriots enjoyed wide security, and for the first time, the ground was prepared for the coming of a strong Islamic government. Our country needs comprehensive activities and services in various fields to address the legal, economic, and social rights of the people and prevent losses.
The appointments of the interim government are not final, as these are acting positions and the remaining posts will be announced at a later date. How long the caretaker government will serve has not been revealed. The formation of the Afghan caretaker government was announced after the Taliban said it had completely captured Panjshir, the last holdout province of Afghanistan's 34 provinces. The Taliban previously promised to build an inclusive government and expressed hope that Afghan people would help in the country's transition. As the new government was being announced, dozens of Afghan women took to the streets of Kabul chanting, "Curse to Pakistan, curse to ISIL, curse to all of them," as well as, "Death to Pakistan, break your silence or you will vanish and be eliminated." To disperse the crowd, the Taliban gunmen fired into the air. The group of around 70 protesters, mostly women, rallied outside the Pakistani embassy against what they see as Pakistan's help for the Taliban in fighting to take the last province resisting their rule.
Afghan women want their country to be free. They want Afghanistan to be rebuilt. We are tired. We are tired of Pakistan bombing Panjshir. When will our voices be heard?
The last time the Taliban ruled Afghanistan, girls could not attend school and women were banned from work and education. Religious police would flog anyone breaking the rules and public executions were often carried out. The Taliban has urged Afghans to be patient and vowed to be more tolerant this time, a commitment many Afghans and foreign powers will be scrutinizing as a condition for desperately needed aid and investment. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki said there would be no recognition of the Taliban government soon. Meanwhile, the UN's Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, Martin Griffiths, says the Taliban of today is not the Taliban of the past, adding a top Taliban leader pledged to let aid workers operate safely and independently and reach the millions of Afghans in need.
The movement we face here today, as many, many other people have told me, is not the movement that we saw then. It's linked, and it certainly has linked an ideology, but it's different to one then, and it suddenly gained power at a very early stage. And one senior leader of the movement said to us, We need guidance. We need guidance. And to be sure, we will provide guidance.
The UN is aiming to get the promises in writing and put them into action. Mr. Griffiths went on to explain the humanitarian situation on the ground in Afghanistan.
Nearly half of the population are in need of humanitarian assistance. That 18 million people, generally speaking, need some kind of humanitarian protection assistance. 14 million need food, 9 million need access to water. 600,000 have been internally displaced this year alone. And 5 million people remain displaced from previous years.
The UN diplomat said a key humanitarian priority is getting safe and dependable access to Kabul airport and road routes from neighboring countries. Mr. Griffiths met over the weekend with Mullah Abdelghani Baradar, a longtime Taliban leader who has been named to a cabinet post in the interim government. The UN was already striving to provide humanitarian aid to an estimated 18 million needy Afghans before the Taliban took over the drought-stricken country last month. It is urgently appealing for $606 million for food, healthcare, and other aid to Afghans for the rest of this year. This comes as four aircrafts chartered to evacuate about 2,000 Afghans fleeing Taliban rule were still at the airport in the northern city of Mazar-i-Sharif on Tuesday. A Taliban official in charge of Maulana Jalaluddin Muhammad Balkhi International Airport said any passenger, Afghan or foreigner, with a passport and valid visas would be allowed to leave. He said that 700 passengers so far had been allowed to leave aboard three flights. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.